Vladimir and Evdokia Petrov arrived in Cold War Australia in February 1951. Ostensibly, both were members of the Soviet embassy. In reality, they were middle-ranking officers of the Soviet intelligence service. Early on in Australia, Petrov was befriended by a Polish migrant, Dr. Michael Bialaguski, a doctor, a very talented violinist, a womaniser, and a part-time ASIO spy. Without this extraordinary character, there would, in my view, have been no Petrov defection. Bialaguski drew Petrov into a double life in Sydney. They drank together and visited the prostitutes of King's Cross. It now became ASIO's purpose to use Bialaguski to convince Petrov to defect, a very significant thing for Western intelligence during the Cold War. For very many months, Petrov was greatly tempted, but could not make up his mind. What tipped the balance for him in the end were the internal politics of the Soviet embassy in Canberra following Stalin's death in March 1953, after which the Petrov couple were subjected to fierce and possibly for them fatal political criticism. In early 54, Petrov, really in a terrible condition by now, came to his decision. He met secretly on a dozen occasions with a fine senior ASIO officer, Ron Richards, who offered him, on the advice of his head, Charles Spry, £5,000, at the time a very considerable sum. On April 3rd, 1954, Petrov defected. 10 days later, Prime Minister Menzies announced the defection in this parliament, in this room. An election was due in 7 weeks. By this time, Evdokia Petrova, who had not known of her husband's decision to defect, although he discussed it with her, was under virtual house arrest in the Soviet embassy. In mid-April, two KGB couriers arrived in Australia to escort her home. News of her imminent departure spread. At Mascot, a crowd of fiercely anti-communist East European migrants mainly gathered. The crowd surged onto the tarmac to rescue her. They saw Petrova caught by the couriers, 1 foot bare, being dragged towards her plane. Photographs and newsreels of Mrs. Petrov between two brutish KGB guards entered forever into our national imagination as a picture of what most Australians at the time believed the Cold War to be about, the struggle between political good and political evil. In fact, as I learned from the archives, Evdokia was even more frightened of the crowd at the time than of her guards. It had been decided to offer Mrs. Petrov asylum in Singapore. Following the scenes at Mascot, Mr. Menzies changed his mind. Fearing opposition accusations of betraying Evdokia, he authorised ASIO to make an approach in Darwin when the plane touched down. And what had been learned was that the guards were armed. At Darwin, the Soviet guards, the KGB guards, were wrestled and disarmed. Petrova was spirited away. Because of the fears for her sister and mother, she did not know what to do. She talked to her husband on the phone. That convinced her. And at the very last moment before departure, she decided to defect. The nation was genuinely overjoyed. The election now began. Menzies determined that the defections would play no role at all. He gagged any discussion of Petrov during the entire campaign. The Labor Party lost the election very narrowly. Robbed of his long-anticipated victory, its leader, Dr. Evatt, one of the most brilliant, but one of also the most unstable politicians in Australian history, became convinced that the defections had been staged as part of a vast conspiracy masterminded by Menzies, by Colonel Spry of ASIO, and by Bob Santamaria of the Catholic anti-communist right to rob him of his prime ministership, which he deserved. Evatt now appeared before the Petrov Royal Commission with the hope of exposing this conspiracy. His bizarre behaviour there began to tear the Labour Party apart. By early 1955, the ALP had split. The Petrov affair was the catalyst of this split, if not the entire cause. In October 1955, the Petrov Royal Commission delivered its report. Dr. Evatt did not only dismiss it in its entirety. He also informed the Parliament that he had written to Stalin's loyal foreign minister, Molotov, and had been reliably informed that all claims about Soviet espionage in Australia were false. The House was in uproar. Dr. Evatt's parliamentary colleagues could scarcely believe their ears. Menzies saw in the Molotov fiasco a splendid political opportunity. An election was immediately called. With the help of anti-communist Labour, the future DLP, with the help of their preferences, a coalition landslide was the result. Largely because of the split, and thus because of Petrov, Labour would not return to government in Canberra for another 17 years. In my view now, the Menzies era had arrived.